Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. Here's this week's scripture reading and sermon.
Our scripture reading today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 35 and 41 through 51. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Then the Jews began to complain about him, because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They were saying, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
This is the fourth week in a series of sermons on the bread of life. The series is called "There's Something About the Bread." And so many of the themes that you just heard in the text Sylvia read, we've been over in these last 4 weeks as we've talked about bread as nourishment, bread as mystery, bread as life. And now today, there's something about the bread ordinary. There's something special about this collection of verses, though, because even the commentaries make one thing explicitly clear that they hadn't with the previous parts of chapter 6, and April gave it away a minute ago. I don't know if you heard it. She said, "The bread is not alive," and she said, "We're not eating Jesus's fingers." For the first time in the commentaries, one scholar was very clear to say, Jesus is not talking about cannibalism. And I thought that was such a gem of a quote, I put it in the notes for the sermon for today. This is a heavy theological text in which Jesus is employing the symbol of the bread, which makes me think about one of my favorite theology professors who used to say, a symbol is a sign that participates in that toward which it is pointing. Does that make sense? A symbol is a sign that participates in that towards which it is pointing. Jesus is pointing us to God while participating in God. Jesus is using the symbol of the bread of life. Ordinary. For those of us whose lives revolve around the school and church calendars, this moment right now is the final opportunity to breathe deeply before school starts. It's the final gasp of summer. On Tuesday, kids in public schools, on the traditional calendar, they will begin the classes marking the beginning of the new school year. And I have to be specific about traditional calendar because there are so many calendars in Wake County, and some of our kids on those different calendars have already started back to school. So whether your first day is Tuesday or whether you're employed and tomorrow's just another Monday, You can't go to Target without recognizing that it is the season of back to school. Though the liturgical calendar has Christians like us celebrating our new year, our back to school, so to speak, in Advent, which comes later in the year, churches generally have a programmatic restart, which accompanies the beginning of the traditional calendar. Probably because whether or not we have kids in school or whether or not we are teachers ourselves or employed by the school system, the hot and humid summer air begins to cool off around this time of year somewhat magically. Did you notice that this week? It was like somebody turned off the water. The final gasp of summer offers us a minute to breathe deeply, because we know that the busyness of the rest of our lives is going to catch up with us, and we all need a break. So here it is, friends. Take a deep breath. Some of us can say we had a slow summer, right, where we were able to breathe a little bit, travel. But I can't go any further without acknowledging that Annabeth and April have not had a slow summer. Look at David shaking his head. He went on those youth trips. He knows. They've been working double time, planning summer trips, attending summer trips while planning this fall, right? So for whatever these past couple of months have been, whether you've been working double time or whether you've taken it easy, we give thanks to God for the gift of summer, and we recognize that it's coming to an end. In my house, we are recognizing the end of another kind of season as Mia finished elementary school, and so now she's getting ready for middle school. I find myself thinking more about the passage of time, about how quickly it goes, and the importance of the friendships that sustained me in my own seasons of change. So thinking about sending Mia to middle school has got me thinking about my own first days of middle school. Do you remember yours? No? Well, whether it was middle school or high school, Karen's showing me long time ago, right? No matter when it was, can you remember a new beginning? A season of your life where you may have been a little bit anxious as you were standing just on the last edge of the past, looking out into an unknown future. Do you remember what it felt like to be on the brink of something new and wonder what might be just up ahead around the corner? Well, I can remember several of those moments. And as I was putting myself in the shoes of my daughter this week, I couldn't help but remember my own first foray into middle school. My family had also just moved, and so it was extra complicated. We moved from Wilmington back to the Charlotte area, and I was really struggling. I'd spent my whole elementary school season in one place, and now I was being launched into a totally new situation. And to top it all off, I had been the youngest in my family for 11 years, and my parents decided that would be a great time to replace me with a new youngest child who would be born during my sixth grade year. Lovely, right? So I was nervous and anxious and looking for some kind of anchor, something to root me. And much to my surprise, that anchor came in the form of a friendship. Her name was Marie. Marie and I were both new to the school district. She was coming in from a private school in the area, and as I said, I was moving in from Wilmington, and we met one another very early in the school year and immediately connected because neither of us had any other friends. We were both scared out of our minds, and it just so happened that we were both dancers, and so we immediately connected about all the things that we loved to do in our spare time, and we found ourselves always hanging out together every chance we could get. And we've lost touch with one another as life went on, right? You move away, you start your family, you get rooted in new cities, and so that happened to us. But I will never, ever, ever forget that friendship and the way that it saved me from so many middle school nightmares. And I don't remember many more of the specifics of our friendship, where we hung out all the time, what we did exactly, what we talked about. But I will always remember the bread that we shared anytime we were in her kitchen or mine. Now, I know I've spent the last several weeks telling you about all kinds of delicious and fancy breads that have characterized my life in different moments, but this one isn't fancy at all. In fact, it is the most ordinary kind of bread that there is. It's Merita white bread. Sandwich bread. And we loved it. I told y'all my metabolism used to be a bit different, and so we could just eat all the bread we could get our hands on. And so anytime our parents were not supervising us, Marie and I would sneak our way into the kitchen of either her house or my house, and we would pull down the loaf of sandwich bread, open it up, pull out as many pieces as we could, slather it with butter. Wait. And then get sugar. And sprinkle it on top. Have you had butter sugar bread? Yes. It is so good. It was our middle school delicacy. As we made it, we would laugh out loud at what our parents would say if they saw us and saw all that sugar. And then we'd sneak it away to our rooms and enjoy it in each other's company. A different kind of bread of life. A life-giving friendship. Have you ever had one? I am the bread of life, Jesus says in John chapter 6 many, many times. And in today's reading, Jesus is still with the crowds that gathered earlier in the chapter. We have been following their story as it has developed throughout this chunk of John's gospel. But today we're at an inflection point because some in the crowds, perhaps many, perhaps just a few, we don't know, but some in the crowds are starting to question Jesus' authority and his authenticity and his validity. Is not this Jesus, they say? The son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know. This is a hometown kid. How can he now say, I have come down from heaven? Surely this isn't the same Jesus they want to know. Surely this isn't the same one walking around teaching with authority, multiplying food in order to feed the hungry, and now talking about being the bread of life. That isn't possible. This Jesus, the one that we know, the son of Joseph and Mary, he's not that extraordinary. In fact, we happen to know he is rather ordinary. And we know, I mean, you can hear him saying this, right? Like, and we happen to have it on good information that his birth story is a little questionable, maybe even scandalous. How can he say, I've come down from heaven? How can Jesus say, now I'm the bread of life? He's not that extraordinary. He's ordinary. Well, Jesus goes on in the chapter to say a lot more about what he means by that, and there's a lot of scholarship that has been written on some of those complicated theological ideas. We've explored some of it in previous weeks, and we're probably going to get into it in a few weeks or next week, but today, I think we need to just keep it rather simple, because today, I think the message for us is a simple one. And I think it's here as we listen to the words of the crowds, the ones who gather and press on Jesus, the ones who question his authority, his integrity, and his value, the crowds which are pressing and asking questions, engaging Jesus in conversation, trying to understand what he's saying, trying to reconcile his words with the person they know him to be, Joseph's son. They're struggling to figure out how somebody like him, somebody in human skin, does that make you think of Paul's words in Philippians? How is someone so ordinary, a human being right in front of them, how could he be so extraordinary? They want to know. How can you be Christ? How can you be the Messiah? How can you be the embodiment of the incarnate God? Aren't you Mary and Joseph's son? Dr. Caroline Lewis is a John scholar and a professor at Luther Seminary in Minneapolis. She writes a commentary on John, and she sees a theme developing in the whole gospel, a main point that John is trying to make as he tells us his version of the good news And in her chapter on today's reading, she summarizes that theme and highlights how it plays out in this one part of the gospel. She says, to believe in Jesus as the bread of life is primarily to acknowledge the relationship between God and God's people. The bread from heaven is provided for the Israelites whom God loves and will not abandon. In the wilderness, God shows up in the form of bread. God is present, providing for God's people, and God's people can rely on God for that provision. To believe in Jesus as the bread from heaven is to recognize the relationship. It is to believe in the relationship and what that relationship means, both then in the past and now. Jesus is teaching the disciples that though they may be searching for some big, large, extraordinary, magnificent sign, sometimes the sign is as simple and ordinary as friendship. That life-sustaining bread isn't always fancy. Sometimes it's rather ordinary, in fact, like Mary and Joseph's son walking around teaching the disciples about what it means to live fully in relationship with God. Life-sustaining bread isn't always fancy. Sometimes it's a crusty loaf of artisan bread that takes days and days to develop, and sometimes it's a tiny slice of Merita sandwich bread. You know, I didn't think about it earlier, but it's an appropriate time for us to learn that sometimes the bread of life is ordinary, because if you look in your bulletins, you'll see that we are here in the middle of ordinary time. Ordinary time. It's not a fancy season in the life of the church. It's not Advent. It's not Christmas. It's not Lent. It's not Easter. It's not even Epiphany or Pentecost. It's ordinary time, which is a good reminder that sometimes, maybe even all the time, well, not all the time, maybe most of the time, God shows up in the most ordinary ways, in the most ordinary seasons. Maybe we just need eyes and ears to see and to hear. I heard a story this week about a woman who lost her brother rather suddenly. She wasn't prepared. And the whole family was in shock. And so they gathered in the home to grieve and mourn. And as they did, they began to notice that people from their family member's church, not their own, but their family member's church, showed up. They didn't plan it. They didn't orchestrate it. But one posted herself outside in the middle of the sidewalk with a cooler and a notepad, receiving the gifts and the visitors who wanted to come and check on the family, making sure she had a list so that if the time came, the family could write those thank you notes. She took care of it. Another person let herself in the house, and without saying a thing, without coordinating with anybody, she just snuck in the house and scurried around, not bothering anybody, but doing the things that needed to be done. Washing the dirty dishes, cleaning up the laundry, making sure the housework was tended to. These church people who didn't even know the family members of the person who had died jumped into action, doing all the ordinary things that were needed to survive. And as they did, they became the presence of Christ for those people. God showing up in ordinary ways. Kathleen Norris, who's a well-known spiritual writer, poet, teacher, speaker, she writes a book called Quotidian Mysteries, The Laundry, Liturgy, and Women's Work. And in that book, she writes about a time in her life when she says she thought faith was in her past. She didn't see a way for it in her future. But she went to a wedding, a Catholic mass, and after all the fancy stuff of the service was over, she snuck back in to the sanctuary, and guess what she found there? She found a priest not donned in the formal clothing that he was previously wearing for the mass, but dressed in some rather ordinary clothes, going around picking up the bulletins, collecting the crumbs, making sure everything was tidied back up. Ordinary work. Work that some would leave for a janitor, but that the high priest took on that day. She said in that moment, her faith came back to her. Christ showing up in the ordinary. Y'all, finding the presence of Christ in our lives and even being the presence of Christ for others doesn't have to be fancy. In fact, it is more often than not utterly ordinary. A casserole baked with love and dropped off on somebody's porch without even having to see them. A slice of white bread slathered with too much butter and way too much sugar. A friend who just shows up at the right time. Nothing fancy, just there. Ordinary, present, offering life-sustaining friendship. And I guess I can stop now because y'all are already really good at showing up for one another. It is one of your superpowers, I often tell people when they ask me about Greystone. But I think the message, as simple as it is important for us to remember, because sometimes we do this stuff so much we forget how extraordinary it actually is. Every time we show up as a friend, we show up as the presence of Christ for people who so desperately need to know. So today, I just want to offer a pretty simple invitation. I'm going to ask Trish to come and help me. Today, I brought you... can I move from the pulpit, Jonathan? Am I on my own? Okay. Today, I brought just some slices of, I think it's Merita, sandwich bread. I didn't bring you the bread and sugar. I'm sorry. But I want you to take this, and we're just going to get it started. And I want you to pass the bread around to the people that are seated near you. And if you feel like it, say out loud the name of a friend who has shown up for you. If you don't feel like it, or if you feel like just kind of being quiet about it, you can do that too. But as you take a slice of this simple, ordinary Merita bread, I want you to take a minute to give God thanks for the life-sustaining friendships that hold us together when we need it the most. In a minute, after you've had a chance to have a piece of bread, Pam and Sandra are going to begin playing the hymn. They're going to play through it just one time, and then Elizabeth will lead us in singing our hymn of response. And I'm going to stay down front just like I always do. So if anybody has a decision to share, I'll be here to receive you. But you can also come down if you'd like a word of prayer. I'll be here for that as well. So take the bread, friends, and remember that sometimes it's okay to be ordinary, and it's okay to show up, because with God, you're all extraordinary.